Begin the current daf. Sechdes Menachas daf Tzadiches. Begin 7 lines down with the top of the Yomit. But the Gemara continues the discussion related to the previous daf, which we had this Machlekes, which related back to the Halacha of our Mishnah regarding the dimensions of the Shulchan and the Beis Hamikdash, regarding what were the measurements, the Amos, which is a certain measurement. What was the specifics of that measurement in the Beis Hamikdash, which we had, for example, the opinion of Reb Meir in this agreement with Rabbi Yehuda. He said, "Kol Amish Beis Hamikdash." All the Amish in the Beis Hamikdash were Amma Beinonius, were the intermediate Amish. So that Digmar clarifies and says, "Bekama Amma Beinonius." What were these intermediate Amish, which Rabbi Yehuda had said, it depends, Amish Binyan and Amish Kalim, differentiated between the Amma of a vessel or that of a building. But Reb Meir said, besides a few exceptions, everything was an intermediate Amma. How much was that? Rabbi Yechon says shisha tvachim, which generally that's how we translate an amma of 6 tvachim. That's what the ammas in the Beis Hamikdash were of. Now, Amr Rabbi Yisi bar Avin, he says afananam tenina, that we also learned the same idea in the halacha of our Mishnah, because Reb Meir Omer, he says in our Mishnah, which we had quoted before from the Braisa, from a different Tanoic text. Here Reb Meir says hashulchan orkei shneim asa v'rach v'shisha, that the shulchan, the length was 12 tvachim and the width was 6 tvachim. So obviously, from the other halacha that we learned for Reb Meir, that he said that all the amas were beinonius, were intermediate, and obviously we see that the beinonius is 6 tvachim, because he describes all the amas in the Beis Hamikdash were beinonius. And it says that the length of the shulchan one was 2 amas, and the width was 1 amma. And if he's calling it 12 tvachim by 6 tvachim, obviously it's because he's saying the amas were 6 tvachim amas. Now, the question the Gemara asks, Machlal de havi amma de nefisha mina, when you're calling it intermediate amma, well, we know that there's a bas hei tvachim, that's what we discussed in the previous daf, that there are certain ammas that are 5 tvachim. But you're calling the 6 tvachim one intermediate? Are you telling me that there's one that's even bigger than that? Says the Gemara, in yes, what's none? As we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kalim, says, shtei ammas, there were these 2 sticks that were measuring sticks, yardsticks of an amma, that hayu that was over there that would measure the ammas, which when you had to measure something in the length of amas, that were Beshushan HaBira, which was actually a certain chamber that was built on top of the eastern gate of the Azar of the courtyard, which was engraved in the shape of Shushan HaBira, of the capital city of Shushan, well known from the Purim story. Now, Achas Akern Mizrachas Tzvainis, there were these 2 sticks that were for the measurements of an amma. One was on the northeastern corner, V'achas Akern Mizrachas Duremis, and one was on the southeastern corner. As the Mishnah explains, Shal Kerem Mizrach is Tavainis, the one on the northeastern corner, Yisera al Shal Maisha, was more than the Amma of Maisha, what we call, which is the 6 tvachim Amma, Chati Etzba, another half of a finger breadth more. And Shal Kerem Mizrach is Deraimis, the one on the southeastern corner, Hais Yisera Leha, Chati Etzba, was more than that stick by another half of a finger breadth. Nimtzis Yisera al Shal Maisha Etzba comes out that that stick was more than that of Moshe's, meaning of the 6 tvachim amma, by a full finger breadth. Now, v'lama amr achas gedolah v'achas ketana. Why did they say that you have to have one small one, meaning the one of Moshe Beinu of a 6 tvachim amma, and one that was bigger by this half a finger breadth more? So says the Gemara, k'deishiyu umnin noitlin b'ketana u'machzirin b'gedolah. So that the craftsmen, that when they take from Hekdesh, because there's transactions, so, because the gizber, the treasurer of the Hekdesh, would stipulate with the craftsmen and say, okay, I want you to build this amount of elements for the temple upkeep for this amount of money. Now, so when they would take from Hekdesh, the craftsmen would take in the measurements of the smaller one, umachzirim b'gedolah, and they would give it back in the larger one. Why? Kadesh lo yevoyle demeila, that they shouldn't come to misappropriation. Because what's going to happen is, if let's say they make up a certain amount and they make one slight mistake, the person then committed me'ilah. So rather, what they would do is they'd say, okay, we're making up that you're going to do this amount of work, and he would take in the small one and give back in the large one, which is a little bit more, so that he should add on a little bit more than what they stipulate in the contract, so that shouldn't come out that he might be taking a little bit off from that of Hekdesh, because if it's going to be even a little bit, he's violated me'ilah. So to give that room for that margin of error, they would take in the smaller one, what they were taking from Hekdesh, but when they would give back to Hekdesh would be the bigger one. So ask the Gemara, okay, but fine, but Tarti Lamali, why do you need 2 sticks? Why one a half etzba and one a full etzba more? Says the Gemara, because Chad Lekaspa V'dahava, one of the sticks was for transactions with craftsmen of gold and silver. So when they would give to the goldsmith to make, let's say, a tablet of 5 or 10 amas but they would use the Amah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So they would make it according to that measurement of a half a etzba more. But they wouldn't use the other stick that was a full etzba more, because we're talking about a type of a craft that every little bit of gold or silver is a lot of money. So it's not appropriate to make them lose that much. We had to do a little bit to laugh at the margin of error that they shouldn't commit me'ila. So therefore that one was the one was a half etzba more for chad lebinyan, and the other one, that of a full etzba, was for building where the material is not so expensive. So then we give a little bit more for the margin of error not to violate the halacha of me'ila. Continuing a related discussion regarding this, that we mentioned that these sticks were by Shushan HaBira, which doesn't mean literally that in Persia, but it means that chamber, there was the eastern gate of the base of the Azara, the base of Migdash. Sanam Hasim, we learned within the Mishnah Masech, this Midas, that says Shar HaMizrach, the eastern gate of the courtyard going into the base of Migdash. Alav Shushan HaBira Tzura. On it, it was a figure of the capital city of Shushan. My time, what's the reason? So the Gemara says, Rav Chizr, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Dimi, they each give a different interpretation. Charam, one of them says it was Kadesh Yadu, so that they should know and that they should see Mehechem Bo, where they came from, and they should give thanks to the kingship of the Persians that took them out from the exile that they were in. So therefore they had that of Persia walking into the courtyard. Charam, the other one says Kadesh Te'emus Malchus, so that the fear of the kingdom of Persia should be Alehen on the Jews, because in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, the Persians had a hold over the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, so that they shouldn't rebel against the Persian kingdom. And Omer Biana, he says, Lo'ilam te'emes malchus alecha, that truthfully there should always be the fear of the king and of the government on you. Shnei Malchus says, the pasuk in Shemais. When Moshe Rabbeinu was telling to Paroi, he said, V'yarducha levadecha eila eilai, and don't worry, this is the end, Pari, where all your servants are going to come to me, they're going to bow down to me, saying, please get out. This was all the way at the end of the Makkos of Mitzrayim. Now, V'ilu l'didela kamale. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell Pari that he's going to come and bow down to Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't say, you're going to come down, you're going to bow down to me, even though that was the ultimate end. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Pari got up in the middle of the night, and he went and he said, out, out, out. So, because one has to have a fear of the king, even no matter who it is, even Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro. V'yechadam Malachi brings a different source. Shlomo says the pasuk in Malachim Aleph. It says V'yad Hashem hoisa el Eliyahu. The hand of Hashem was on to Eliyahu. V'yishanis masna, he girded his loins of a yoritz lefnei Achav. He ran in front of Achav, who was riding on his horse ad v'yachay Yisrael until he came to Yisrael. Meaning, even though Eliyahu Navi and this is Achav, it wasn't appropriate for Eliyahu to go from the Achav, the type of king that he was, but because of the honor, it's not appropriate that a king should go by himself. Eliyahu HaNavi ran in front of the wicked king Achav. Again, that because the person should always have the aim of the Malchus Alecha. Now, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel that talks about regarding the spring that will ultimately sprout out in the future from beneath the Kachay Kachay, from the holies of the holies. And it says that at the edge of that stream, there's going to come out from either side fruit trees, and the fruits will be for consumption. And it says, "Valei l'trufa," and its leaves will be medicinal, will be therapeutic. Now, the reason why I bring this pasuk here is because of the machlekes of Chizr and Yitzchak that we just quoted. So it says this also is the machlekes between Rav Chizr and Yitzchak, and they expound what does it mean that the leaves will be l'trufa as a compound word. Rav Chizr, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Dimi, Charam, one of them says the word l'trufa is, both according to both of them, is lahatir peh, two words. But one of them holds it's lahatir peh shalamal. It means that it will open up the mouth on the top, the upper mouth, which is the mouth of those who are mute, because whoever is mute and will eat from it will be healed. V'chadam lahatir peh shalamal. The other one says to open up the mouth on the bottom, means referring to the mouth of the womb of the barren women. So that's the lower mouth. Itmar, we learned so too, Chizkiyahu Amar, he says, lahatir peh ilamim, that it was to open up the mouth of those who are mute. And Bakapar Amar, he says, Lahatir Peh Akar, is to open up the mouth of the barren women, which it's the same machlekes that was just said before. It's just more explicit, saying clearly, not just that which is on top or on the bottom, but saying one is for the, one says it's to heal the mouth of the mute, and the other one says to heal the mouth of the womb of the barren woman. Now, Tanabar Linda Braisa, continuing on the theme regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding the shulchan and the breads that are on the shulchan, and regarding what are exactly the measurements and the dimensions of the different elements on the shulchan. So the Braisa says as follows. There's three different elements that are mentioned in this description of the formation of the breads on the shulchan. And it's actually three primary psukim that the Gemara talks about in Vayikra, Perech Avdal, Pasuk Hey, going through to Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zayin, where the Pasuk is that it says, V'lekach t'seilas. Okay, you'll take flour, V'fisa eis, and you'll bake it, Shtei mesri chalas, 12 breads, 12 loaves, Shnei esroinim yachal achas, each loaf should be two esroinim of flour. The next Pasuk continues, it says, V'sam to'isim shtei marachas. So you place them into two orders, Sheish ha-marachas, each order having six loaves, Ala shulchan atarlef ne'ashem, on the pure table that's in front of Hashem. And then the next pasuk says, "V'nasata l'mareches levoin nizak." You'll put on the orders pure frankincense. V'yisul alechem laskara, and the bread will be as a remembrance. Each l'Hashem a fiery offering, which will go on the fires in front of Hashem. Says the Bryce as follows: Ilu nemar, if the pasuk would just say as follows: "V'lekach t'seilas, take flour, v'fisais, and you should bake it. Shtei mesrichalas, 12 loaves." And then continue to the next pasuk, v'sam to'isam shtei marachas, and you should place them onto two orders on the shulchan. And b'loy nemashesh, how to not say, we already know that it has to be 12 and two orders. Now, it would seem superfluous to say that, oh, each order has shesh, six, because you know, there's 12 and there's two orders. So Bryce is trying to figure out why we need all these three different descriptions, the 12 breads, the two orders, and that each order has six. So the Bryce explains, had we only said that there's 12 loaves and that there's two orders, and v'lei nemashesh, wouldn't have said that each order has six. So Yisrael, I would say, achas shel arba v'achas shel shmeina. One would have four and one would have eight. So you would still have 12 and you still have the two orders, but I wouldn't know that each one has to have six. I would say one could have four, one could have eight, which is also 12. V'kach nemashesh, that's why it says, shesh hamareches, that each one of the orders has to have six. Continues the Bryce. V'ila nemesh t'ay marachas, and had it said, let's say, that there's two orders, and sheish marachas, and that there's two in each order. So I know, 2 times 6 is 12. And v'lo nemesh t'ay mes, and it wouldn't have said that there's 12. Why do I need that to say 12? Because the Yisrael Eima, I would have said, says the Braisa, shalish shal sheish sheish. I would have said, that actually means three orders of six each. Because although it says in the Pasuk, shtei marachas, two orders, I would have said, that's two. Then when the Pasuk continues says, Sheish HaMareches, that means a third order of six, which would have been 18. Which Rashi brings to actually that those Svarim that have the Girsa, not three of six, but rather three of three, because according to that version, that had it not said 12, rather it would have said, Shtayim HaMareches, Sheish, I would have understood that not that it means that two orders and each order having six, I would have read that as saying that there's two orders, which is six. How so? Because each one actually has three. And then the extra word hamarachas would have told me, and if you want to add a third marachas, that's another three, which would have made for a total of just of nine. But we're going to go with the text that we have in our Gemara. But either way, lekach nemishtei mesri, that's what it says, that there was 12, which sounds like, and not more, which not 18, or in the according to the other version, that not less, which would make it nine. Continues the Bryce to the third element. And had it said that there's 12 breads and that there's orders. That there's, like we said, it's not all in one pile. But it wouldn't have told us how many orders. It wouldn't have said that there's two orders and that each one has six. Rather, it would have said that you should put them on marachis, and the marachis are on the table. So then I would have said, Shleisha shel arba arba. I would have said, okay, so maybe there's three piles. We know there's more than one pile. And we know there's 12. But I would have said, okay, maybe that there's three piles of four each. That's why I have to tell you that the 12, which is in more than one pile, is in two piles, and that each pile has six. Says the Braisa, so therefore, until we have all these three psukim, meaning there's three elements in the pasuk, which is the number 12, the two orders, and that each order is six, we would not have learned exactly the precision of how it's supposed to be done on the Shulchan. As the Bryce explains, okay, so how is it done? You make two orders of six each, and if you do one of four, one of eight, one does not fulfill the obligation of the proper organization of the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan. Now continues the Bryce, what's the halacha? Let's say there's two orders of seven each, for 14 breads, not 12. So Rabbi Yami says, not a problem. Because you just see the top two breads as if they're not there, and you're left with the same six of each on the two piles. That is the Gemara, but v'be'inon v'nosata al. But what do you mean? You run into a problem because the pasuk says that you should place on the mareches, Lovoi Nazaka. The problem is, if there's going to be a seventh loaf on each pile, there's a chatzita, there's an interposition between the spoonfuls of the frankincense onto the breads, because it's not on the breads, it's on some other seventh bread, which is not valid, on the top. So Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Amnuna, Varmalan, some say the opposite of Nunla Rav Chisda, that who's saying this opinion? It's Rebbe. Rebbe Litame is going according to his reasoning. The Amar Al Besamach, he says, Al doesn't mean on, it means nearby. The Tanakh learned the Brisa. Rebbe Yemi says, V'nasata l'mareches l'vay nezaka. It says, you should, literally it's translated, you should put on the orders of the breads, the spoonfuls of pure frankincense, which is two spoonfuls, two loaves of bread on the top. You put it on. Says Rebbe, it means Al means Besamach. On means nearby. On that says Rebbe, Atoim al besamach, do you really mean it says it means nearby? Or in the ela al mamash, or maybe it means literally on top. Says Rebbe, but Keshuaima, when it says a pasuk in Shemais, v'sekoisa al orin esapareches, you'll cover over, sounds literally on the ark, the pareches. Now the thing is, the pareches was not a covering on the ark. It was a mechitza, it was a separation between the ark and the hechel. Yet it's called al. Avoima al besamach, you see, al doesn't mean on, it means nearby. And therefore, when it says to put it on top of the bread, it doesn't mean on, it means nearby. And therefore, there's no problem about having seven on each. You just make like it's not there, and you'll have the six on the two, which is for the total of 12. And therefore, according to Rebbe, it's going to be valid. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, Kalakelim should be mikdash. That all the vessels in the base of mikdash, for example, like the shulchanis, the chulu, etc., that their length was along the length of the base of mikdash, which was going from east to west. Now, related to this, halacha, tanban lina braisa. As we said, kalakim shabim mikdash, all the vessels in the base of mikdash, arkan la arka shal bayis, the length went along the length of the base of mikdash, chutz mi arn, except for the ark, which was in the kachet kachim, sh'arkay l'rach v'shal bayis, its length was along the width of the base of mikdash, v'kachay munach, and that's how it was placed, v'kachay yabadav munach, and that's how it staves, its sticks, which were on the sides of the arn, that's how they were placed. So the Gemara says, "My Kama, what is that saying? What does that mean? You're saying the length is along the width of the base of Mikdash, and that's how it was, and that's how its sticks were. What does that mean?" Says Gemara, "This is what it's saying. Kacha Yemunach. You know how we know that that's how it was, that its length was along the width of the base of Mikdash? Midebadov kacha Yemunachin. From the fact that that's how the staves were, meaning that the sticks were from east to west, as we're going to quote shortly from a Brisa, that." The inference is that the length of the Arin was from north to south and its width was from east to west. Because, as we're going to shortly prove, the sticks of the Arin were on the width of the Arin, as the Gemara says later on. So from the fact that the sticks were on the width and the sticks from east to west, so obviously the length of the Arin was going from north to south. Now that is the Gemara Ubadah Minolan. How do we know that the sticks went from east to west? So the Gemara Tanak learned the Braisa. Pasuk Malachim Aleph that says v'yirichu habadim, that they lengthened, they moved forward, they lengthened the sticks of the arm. Now, yachal lahayu nogim b'pareches. You would think, okay, they moved forward the sticks that were in the side of the arm, but it didn't touch the curtain. Now there was a curtain that separated by the covered over by the entryway between the kaidish, the hechel, and the kachet kachem, the holiest of holies. Now the utility of that curtain was actually just for modesty, not as the actual partition, because in the first base of mikdash there was something called the amatraxon. It was an amah wall that separated. So this curtain was just to make some type of modesty between the in that opening between the hechel and the kachet kachem. Because if one would think to say that we're talking about in the times of the second base of Mikdash, which actually didn't have the Amatrax and only had a curtain, you can't say that for two reasons. First of all, in the second base of Mikdash, there was no Aron and the Badim, because Yeshua HaMelech hid it away, as the Gemara says, in Yumadef and Bezim and Bez. And moreover, the pasuk that we're quoting was in Mikdash Rishon, the first base of Mikdash. So this curtain that was there was just there for its sneeze purposes. But the point is that there was a curtain there. And the sticks were sticking out towards the area of the Hechel. Now you would think, okay, it stuck up, but it didn't touch the actual curtain. Tamalema, as the pasuk says, vayiro, that they were visible. They were obviously sticking through the hechel, and they were visible outside, they were sticking out of the curtain towards the hechel. Now, but ivayiro, if you had only that pasuk, that it was visible, yochel yu mekaren bepareches v'yitzin, you would think that actually tore through, actually made a hole through the curtain, and it went out, and you could actually see the sticks themselves. Tamalema, that's the pasuk says over there, lo yiro achutza, it was not seen outside. So, okay, it's that house. So, was it seen outside? Was it not? So, the Gemara continues to Medeis. Deichikin ubaltin bepareches. It pushed and it stuck out of the curtain. That is, it was within, but it pushed out the curtain itself, because the Aron was facing the area of the Pesach, of the opening between the Heichal and the Kachar Kachim. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah, Yudim Abayis, that the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made when it was placed in the Devir, in the Kachar Kachim, that from every direction, from the Aron, you had 10 Amis to every side. Now, the thing is that the Kachar Kachim itself was only 20 by 20. So how could it be 10 to each side? So the Gemara there says that what's called Mokum Aron Eina Min Amida, it didn't take up any space. That was a miracle that it didn't take up any space. But one thing we see from that Gemara is that the Aron was in the middle of the Kachar Kachim. Now the opening between the Heichal and the Kachar Kachim was also in the middle. It was in the eastern wall in the middle. So therefore when the sticks, which we're also saying went from east to west, which is this idea that we're illustrating, it went and stuck out in the opening of the Pareches, which that's this idea that we're saying, that it went from east to west. And that's what the Pasuk means to say, that it was visible, but it wasn't visible. It wasn't really visible, the actual sticks, but it stuck out of the curtain, sticking out, as the Gemara says, allegorically, v'daymen kimin shnei dadi isha, and it was compared to like the two breasts of a woman, which is covered, but it does protrude a little bit. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, it says, Tzrer HaMur, a bundle of myrrh, which is a type of a fragrant spice, Doidili is my beloved to me, Bein Shadayalan, that dwells between my breasts, which is referring to the sticks of the Aron that stuck out, but didn't stick out. So, but one thing that we see is what the Gemara is proving is that the sticks went from east to west, which, meaning one, the sticks stuck out on either side of the Aron. So one end was sticking out towards the west, and one was going towards the east, which was by the opening of the Pesach, which stuck out of the curtains, as we said, not out of the curtains itself, but pushed the curtains out a little bit from the two sticks. So we see that obviously that the width of the Aron was from east to west, which was from on the length of the Beis HaMikdash. But its own length was on the width of the Beis HaMikdash. Because as the Gemara says, how do we know? So we know that the sticks themselves went from east to west. And how do we know that the sticks were on the width of the Aron and not on the length? Maybe the sticks which went from east to west were along the length of the Aron, which also maybe went from east to west. So Amar Yehudi says no, because Trey Gavri, two people that would hold the Aron on either side of the Aron, the Amsu Palgulay Mistagalu, they can't walk, which they would hold the sticks on them in the inner part of the Aron, they can't fit. Two people can't fit in the area of an Am and a half. And if the sticks were along the length, then you wouldn't have between each stick only an Am and a half, and two people can't fit in that area. Because that was how much the width was of the Aron. And therefore, you have to have it on the width so that they're walking along the length. Now, says the Gemara, "Umenolan de ba'abar havadarlu." How do you know that there was four kahanim, there was four levim that would carry the Aron, two in the front, two in the back, so that you had to have two in the middle again, so we had to be along the length, that they would carry along the length, because the sticks are going along the width of the Aron. How do you know that there were four? Because the Pasuk says, "Mimidbar benasu hakahasim," which that word is seemingly superfluous, that the kahasim would travel, that's trey, that's plural. Noisei HaMikdash, those who carry the holy things, which is the Aron, nami trey is also two. So that makes for a total of four. And now, as Rashi explains, the end of the pasuk then is translated as veikimu, that they would put erect, who is this? This refers to the other levim, as hamishkan, meaning when they wanted to settle again after they journeyed, ad boyam, until they came, meaning until those who were noisei Aron, until those who carried the Aron, those are the kahasim, which were four. Those four from the Shevet Levi, that would be those who would then bring the Aron. But one thing we see is that there were four who carried it, and so you have to have two that fit in, and again, two can't fit in along the width, only in the length, and they have to be within the sticks. So obviously, that the sticks themselves are along the width, which means say that then the Lahabim are carrying it along the length, and which is much more of an area than the Am and a half that you have along the width. That's how we know that the sticks were in a different direction of the length, meaning it was perpendicular, meaning it was along the width. And again, as we just proved, since the sticks themselves were east to west, that means obviously the length of the Aron went from north to south. Now, continuing on this discussion, Tanaban learned the Braisa, as we were discussing the law, the different dimensions of the Shulchan and how it fit in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Braisa tells us that Asar Shulchan is Asar Shleim HaMelech. This is already in the Beis HaMikdash. There were 10 tables, although in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishkan there was one. Shlomo HaMelech made 10 tables. Shanem, like it says, a pasuk in Divrei Yomim Beis. It says, "V'yash shulchanos asar." He made 10 tables. V'yanach mehichel. He put into the sanctuary. Chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismol. 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Now says the Gemara, says the Braisa, v'imtaren. If you're going to say that when it says that it was on the right and the left, it means from the entryway of the heichel, that chamisha miyamin pesach, 5 was to the right of the opening, but chamisha mismol pesach, 5 to the left of the opening. Imkain, if that's the case, metzina shulchan medarim. That would come out that there were 5 of these tables that were in the south, because the opening of the heichel was in the middle of the heichel in the eastern wall. So it comes out if 5 are on the left of it, it's going to be in the south. The problem is, but the Torah says in Shemayis vashulchan titnal telat safa, and that the table has to be on the northern side. So the rather says the Gemara shal Moshe beemtza. Moshe Rabbeinu's, when we're saying to the right and left, we're saying that there weren't only these ten tables of Shlema. There was the original Shulchan that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, that was in the middle, but all in the north. Chamisha miminoi, there was 5 on its right, which was in its south. Vechamisha mismaylen, 5 on its left, which was its north. But they were all in the northern part of the Heichel, as the more later on is going to explain exactly how do we fit that in, all into the northern part of the Heichel. Similarly, continues the Gemara, turn about another Braisa, continuing from the Shulchanis, to Eser Menoiris Aser Shlema. Shlomo Melech also made 10 candelabras, 10 menorahs. Shlomo Melech says the pasuk in Divrei Yomim Beis says, as the Girsa is Vayas es menorahs hazav eser kimishpat. He made 10 golden menorahs according to their laws. V'it mehechel, and put into the sanctuary. Chamesh mimin v'chamesh mismol, 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Here too. V'imtem, if you're going to say chamesh mimin ha-pesach v'chamesh mismol ha-pesach, 5 was to the right of the opening, 5 and 5 was to the left of the opening. Imkain, if that's the case, mitzinu menorah b'tzaf, and it comes out that you have 5 menorahs in the northern part of the hechel. But v'atayram, the Torah says in Shemais, v'esa menorah neichich ha-shulchan, the menorah should be opposite of the shulchan, as the pasuk there says, al tela ha-mishkan teimana, on the southern part of the Heichel, and here you're having 5 in the north. Ella rather shall Moshe be'emtza. Rather, what it means to say right and left, it means the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu was in the middle. Chamisha mimina v'chamisha mismayla. 5 was to its right, 5 was to its left, but they were all in the southern part of the Heichel. Now, continuing on this halacha of the shulchan, and as we said, there were these 10 shulchanas that Shlomo Melech made. So Tanakh, we learn in one brisa, mechatzi ba'is ulefinim ha'yimenachem, that halfway into the Beis HaMikdash were all these shulchanas were put, meaning not one of them were in the outer half of the opening of the heichel. But Tanichad, we learn another brace that says Mishlish Habayis Ulefnim HaYemenachem, that it was within a third of the bayis that it was put into. So which one was it? Was it halfway in, or was it past a third that it was in? So says the Gemara B'Likash, it's not difficult, because the Heichel, the sanctuary of the Beis HaMikdash, was in its length 60 amas. Like the Pasuk says in Melachim Aleph, Perek Vav, that the bayis that Shlomo Melech built was 60 amas. Now, from those 60 amas, 20 of them were the Dvir, the Kutcha Kutcha, like the Pasuk says, and within the Dvir, the wall that separated was 20 amas. That means the Heichel itself, which was where the Shulchan was and the Menorah was 40 amas, like the Pasuk says, Arbon Ba'amo Hayah HaBayis. That's the Heichel that's in front of the Kutcha Kutcha. Now, all those tables were all in the second 20 amas of the Heichel, right before you go to the Dvir, the Kutcha Kutcha. So therefore, Mar, the one who said that it was within a third of the Beis HaMikdash, Kachashav Beis Kutcha Kutchim, how the Heichel is considering in to the dimensions the Kutcha Kutchim with the Heichel. He's counting all the 60 amas of the Dvir and the Heichel. So yes, it was a third of it in, because it wasn't in the first 20 amas, and we're still counting the last 40. So past a third was in that next 20 amas. Mar, the one who says that it was past the first half of the Heichel, L'kachasha beis kachay kachim ha'dehechel, was not considering in those dimensions the kachay kachim, only counting the Heichel itself, which that was 40 amas. Halfway in was those second, so everyone agrees it was in the second 20 amas. Question is what you're referring to when you're saying halfway in or a third in. If you're counting the kachay kachim, it's a third in. If you're counting only the Heichel, it's halfway in, which again, there's those 20 amas. The whole thing was 60. First 20, nothing was there. Second 20, which everyone agrees it was there. And then the last 20, everyone agrees it wasn't there. That was the kachay kachim. Now, related to this, the Gemara says, "Turn about and learn the Braisa." There's a machlokes exactly which direction these shulchanas were facing. So, the first opinion says, "Mizrach u'mayriv hayu menachem." The shulchanas the tables, that these 10 tables that Shlomo HaMelech had made, were going from east to west, which is, as one's walking in, the tables were going in that direction. So one end would start on the east, and the other one would end it all the way in the west. So, as we said in our Mishnah, that because it was going along its length, it was going according to the length of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. But Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, he says, no, it's Tzafon V'Darom. Actually, they went from south to north. That's the direction. Their length was along the width of the Beis HaMikdash. Says, my time in the Rebbe, what's the reason of Rebbe? So it says, Gamma Menari, learns it out from the Menari, which was the other vessel opposite it there in the Heichel. Ma Menorah Mizrach Ma'ariv, just like the Menorah went from east to west, meaning the Menorah itself, three of the stems were in the east, and three of them were in the west. So Afhani Nami Mizrach Ma'ariv, here also the Shulchanis, where they're going is going to be that same direction, going from east to west. And says the Gemara Menorah Gufa Menon, how do we know the Menorah itself went from east to west? Because Mindichsib B'Neim Arav, from the fact that it talks about the western lamp, as the pasuk says in Meyikra, it says Yarach Isi Aaron Begoyim, that Aaron should appear the candles of the menorah lefnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Now, when it says Isai, sounds like in the singular that there is one candle, which are called the Ner Maravi, that's the one that's in front of Hashem. Now, Machlal de Kulu Lav lefnei Hashem. The inference is obviously that all of them are not in front of Hashem. Meaning, obviously, there's only one. What does it mean in front of Hashem? Which is where the Aaron, where the Shekhinah was towards the west, towards the Kutch HaKutchim. Obviously, only one of them was towards the Kutch HaKutchim. Why? Because it was going from east to west, where its length was along the length of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's only the outer one towards the west that's called the Neir Maravi, which is going towards Hashem. Because V'isa G'day Dechtzav Medarim, if you really would think that the Menorah was going from south to north, then Kula Namil of Hashem Ninu, then they're all equally in front of Hashem. Because all the openings of their wicks are all equally that same distance from the west. So obviously, because it went from east to west and not from north to south. Now, Reb Elazar ben Shimon, my time, what's the reason that he learns that it went from north to south by the Shulchanis? Because he's Gama Me'aron. He learns it out from the Ark. Ma'aron Tzav Medarim, just like the Ark went from north to south, which, as we said before, its length went along the width of the Beis HaMikdash, as we proved from the sticks, which went from east to west. Obviously, it was on the width of the Aron. Obviously, the Aron itself went from north to south. So the Shulchanis also went from north to south. Now, ask the Gemara, V'Rebbe Nami Ligma Ma'aron. Why doesn't he learn that from the Aron that also went from north to south? Because it says, no, Dun and Chutz Michutz. We'd rather learn out a kli that was on the outside from another kli that was on the outside, meaning not in the Kutch HaKutchim. The Menorah and the Shulchan were both in the Heichel. Vein Dun Chutz Mibifnim. And I could learn out the Shulchanis, which are on the outside, from the Aron, which is on the inside in the Kutch HaKutchim. I ask the Gemara now, the other way, Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon Ligma Menorah. Why doesn't he learn out, like Rebbe does, from the Menorah that it should go from east to west and not from north to south? Amalachi says, no, Menorah Guf, it's often B'Darm, Havim Mancha. Actually, the Menorah itself, not like Rebbe, where he's trying to bring his proof from. No, the Menorah itself actually went from north to south. And that is the Gemara, Elaksib, but then this did, it says, in the Pasig, Yarech Oysi Aaron Ivanov, that Aaron prepared it and the sons in front of Hashem, which sounds like that only one was Lifnei Hashem, meaning towards the west, and not the other ones. How do we understand if it was going from north to south? Says the Gemara, a different interpretation of what was the Neir Maravi. Neir Maravi wasn't the furthermost one towards the west. No, it actually was the center one. It means the Mitzadid Lahu Atzedudi. Truthfully, like he's saying that the Menorah was going from north to south. And even so, there really only was one that was going towards the west, which that was the middle one, because its wick was turned towards the west. But actually, all the other wicks on the sides were actually facing towards the middle one. Meaning the three on the north were facing towards the south, and the three on the south were facing towards the north. The time, like learned the Brai said, that this is what the interpretation means of the Neir Maravi. It says in the Pasuk, El Mul Panei HaMenorah, facing towards the face of the Menorah, Ye'iru Shivas HaNeris, should the seven lights light up. What does that mean? Sorry, this teaches that they face towards the middle candle. Because again, like we said, the middle candle was from the actual stem of the menorah itself. The rest were on kanim, were on the pieces that, although it was made from one thing, but they're the rods coming out, which it sounds like from the pasuk, that those that are on the kanim were facing towards the essence of the menorah, which is the middle one, which that's the Neir Maravi, because that's the one that's facing towards Hashem. Now, Moreover, Amr ibn Nasan, he says, Mikan shem tzoy meshubach. From this halacha is where we find that the middle one is the most praiseworthy, is the most significant one, where we find all the lights were facing towards the middle one. So that has halacha ramifications regarding the three aliyahs that we have when they read from a Sefer Torah on Mondays and Thursdays. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph Mabez, that we don't lane less, we don't recite less than 10 psukim. And that Rib Nassan says, so those 10 psukim get divided, that the middle one, who's the most praiseworthy, the Levi, he gets 4 psukim, and the rest will get 3, because the Emtzai is Meshubach. Now, the Gemara asks now on these two different interpretations regarding the Shulchanis, if they went from east to west or north to south. So the Gemara asks, Bishlem Elaman Dama Mizuch Amar, we understand according to Rabbi, who said that the Shulchanis, the tables, went from east to west. So now we can understand the dimensions, how it fits, how the 10 tables, who we said each table is 2 amas in its length, so 10 tables times 2 is 20 amas. We understand how that could fit be'esrim in 20 amas. As we said before, that everyone agrees that the tables were within the second 20 amas. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that the way these tables were lined up was one after the other. The one table, then came the next table after that. So you could say, according to Rebbe, that even though it's not possible to have literally 10 tables and 20 amas exacting, that you shouldn't have it sticking out a little bit, but that you could say, okay, it wasn't so precise when it said that everything was within the second 20 amas. Okay, maybe it stuck out a little bit. We could understand how it fits, technically speaking. But according to the one who says that it went from north to south, meaning that it went along the width of the Heichel, the thing is, the entirety of the width of the Heichel was only 20 amas. So to have 10 tables, which itself was an area of 20 amas, bechaf in 20 amas, hechav yasvi. How exactly can you get, you can't be exactly like that, that there shouldn't be any space between the tables, but anything more already doesn't fit within the wall space of the width of the Heichel. Besu, moreover, even if you're going to say, no, you were able to fit in exactly, there was no space, it took up every inch, and it filled up the entirety of the width of the Heichel. But still there's a difficulty, and that is, Kahanim, the Kahanim Yom Kippurim, like the Kohen Gadol, Heichava Aili, how did he go in, Lifnei V'Levim, how did he get in? The whole thing is blocked. You can't get in. You have this barrier of all the tables going from on the width of the Heichel, which blocks anyone who's going into the length of the Heichel. How could he get in? He can't walk through. Moreover, every single Shabbos, there were 4 Kahanim, as we said in the Mishnah, that there were 2 who took the old orders of the breads, and you have 2 who brought in the 2 new orders of the breads. And they stood on opposite sides of the table because they had to have, as this one was taking off the old breads, they were pushing on the new breads. So how could the other Kahanim who had to stand on the other side of the table be there when you can't get over? You can't get through. It's blocked with orders of breads, and the whole thing is filled up with tables. Fasu, moreover, asked the Gemara, is that Mitzinu Heishulchanis Bedarm, what's going to come out according to this interpretation, that if it took up the whole width, that means to say there were 5 tables in the south, but as we said before, the Pasuk says in Shemais Chavav, I'll tell it often, tables could only be on the north. Fasu, moreover, asked the Gemara, Shulchan Demaisha, we're forgetting. Up until then, we're talking about the 10 tables of Shlema, but the table of Moshe Rabbeinu that we said before, that it was in between those that was in between those of Shlema's, where we said that Shlema's 5 was on the right of Moshe's and 5 was on the left. Hey, where exactly was that? It doesn't fit in. You could only fit in at most the 10 of Shlema. Where are you going to put that 11th one of Moshe's? So that says the Gemara, wait a second. But according to your reasoning, I mean, you're asking according to Mandama that it went from Tzafin to Dan. But that last question that you just asked, Lamandama Mizrach Ma'ariv Nami, that question is valid to be difficult even according to the one that says it went from east to west. Because Shulchan de Moshe Echav Amonachle, where exactly did you put the table of Moshe Benu? Because it comes out that that's the 11th table, that's going to be beyond the 20 inner Amos, and you said all the tables are in the 20 inner Amos. So what are you going to do according to that? So Ella rather says the Gemara, actually, now that the question that it's difficult in that other mandama too, will answer all the questions that you asked on the other opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Because, mi savat chad darahava? Do you really think that all the 10 were in one row, one after the other? No, trade daraninu. There were actually 2 different rows. There were 5 on each row, one after the other. Moshe Rabbeinu was in front of them, not in that row itself. And then you had another row of five on the other side of Moshe Rabbeinu's, and that had five, and that had one after the other. And therefore, that takes care of all the different questions, where, as we continue to talk about Tzadi Tesem and Aleph, where Rashi brings a picture to show that according to the Man D'Amma, that it went from east to west, that it showed that you had five, and this was in the 20 Amos, on one side, Moshe Rabbeinu is in the middle, and five on the other side, and according to the Man D'Amma that we had asked on, at Tzaf and Vidarm, so it's like that, where it's like this H, that letter, where it's like you have those five, so they were all in the north, and it fit in, and you had the Moshe Rabbeinu is in the middle, and therefore, all the questions weren't difficult in how do we understand it, because you didn't have any five tables in the south, you didn't have any problem, the thing wasn't blocked, you had that the Moshe Rabbeinu was in the middle, and therefore, and it fit into that area of the 20 Amos in the width, because it wasn't in one line. But the question the Gemara asks is now the other way. Bishlam elamam dam etzaf and medam, we understand according to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, who says that it went from north to south. So Shapir, we could understand that even though it's not possible that there shouldn't have been something of the tables sticking into the south, because you can't be exact, because even though we're saying there's five and five, so five times two is ten, and the areas of the Shulchan therefore took up ten Amas, can't fit exactly into ten Amas. So some of it is sticking into the southern ten Amas. Even so, whatever's sticking out is less than a tefach, is not so significant. So we can understand, according to that man d'amar, how that was valid for the halacha of being in its area that it's supposed to be of the north of the Hechel. But now according to the one who says it went from east to west, that was its length, width, and that means its width was from north to south. So Mefti, let's see. It's going to be difficult. Why? Because Shulchan, the you're saying there's two rows. So the northern row, the one more towards the right wall, those tables, kama mashach min hakaisel. How far away does it have to be away from the northern wall of the Hechel? It has to be at least 2.5 amas away from that northern wall, so that the kahanim who are carrying the two orders of the breads can go side by side. As the Mishnah tells us, that there were two who would put together that one order. Now, for two people to walk, you need to have 2.5 amas. As we said before, when we were talking about the sticks of the iron, we said that for them to fit together, you have to have an area of 2.5 amas. So you have to have room on the right side of that for the kahanim to fit. So you have to have 2.5 amas between the wall and the northern row of the shulchanas. Now, moreover, the amadide. Now, if we're measuring the measurements, you also had the width of the shulchan itself, that those rows, those five, which that was a width of an amah. Now, additionally, now you have to have another 2.5 amas between those northern rows of tables and Moshe Rabbeinu's shulchan, because you have to get on the other side of the table for those who are taking off and then those who are putting on. Then, the amo, you have the amo of Moshe Rabbeinu's shulchan, because as we said, it's like an H. There's one row of Moshe Rabbeinu's and then then you have to have another 2.5 amas separating between Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan and the southern row, meaning the next row over, because you have to, sometimes they put it onto those tables, the amadidei, and then you have to count the ama of the width of those tables. So you have an area of 10.5 amas. It comes out that the tables are eating in, they're taking up space, a half of an ama in the south. Now, according to the one who says that it was going from north to south, we don't have that question. Because according to him, that means the width was going from east to west. So, yeah, you'll say that the western row, it has to be distant from the western wall, which is going to the Kutcha Kutchim, 2.5 amas. Then you have an amma width of the tables themselves. Then you have 2.5 amas between it and the Shulchan Moshe. And going on, that's okay. If it's 10.5 amas, you have 20 amas to play with in regards to the area of the inner 20 amas. But that's because you're going from east to west. But those who are going, its width is from north to south, then you run into the problem, it's going to the south. So that the Gemara says, again, no, misavrit, again, correcting the assumption. Do you think Shulchan de Moshe b'hadayu havayasim? Do you think that the table of Moshe Rabbeinu was literally in the middle between the two rows, like an H, that you should require, as we had explained before, two separations of 2.5 amis between the table of Moshe of the ones on the right and the ones on the left of it? Lai, no. Dimidly lay. It was actually lifted up. It was moved forward so that it wasn't literally between the two rows. Rather, it's moved more towards the west. Umanach lay, and it was placed that it was on the top, as the pictures in Rashi brings, between the ear spaces of the two rows. But you didn't have to make a separation to be able to get in over there because it wasn't literally there blocking. It was in that airspace, but you only needed the space between the two rows. Because umitasi lahu lididu purtu, because we also pulled back those two rows a little bit from that towards the east on a lower plane. Ketama hayushab lifnei rabba, like a student that sits in front of his teacher, meaning that's a little bit lower down than his teacher. So too, those 10 tables of Shlina Melech were lower down than those of Moshe, because as Rashi says, the Beis Hamikdash was on an incline, which as it went to the west, it got higher up, which was the holier area. So therefore, those 10 tables were like a little bit, like the students, a little bit towards that of Moshe Rabbeinu. But again, we don't have to have the dimension that we described before, which was 2.5 an Amma, 2.5 an Amma, 2.5 an Amma. No, because we didn't have that spaces. Because we didn't have that of Moshe Rabbeinu in between, literally. It was in between the space of that, but on the top, but it wasn't blocking anything, and therefore you didn't have that amount, and therefore it definitely, even according to the Amanda Amar, that its width was going, which its length was going east to west, and its width was going from north to south, it fit into the Ten Amos in the north, and therefore it's not difficult in that Amanda Amar, how the Shulchanis were from north to south, and that means its width was going east to west, and we said that there was five tables, and that of Moshe in the middle, it wasn't literally in the middle, it was more towards the top, and therefore not blocking, and therefore it didn't need that much space.